This is the public hearing process brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after the public hearing. As information, all public hearings are digitally recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item 1 includes the following development applications: Zoning Agreement Amendment for 740 Maryland Street, 690 Notre Dame Avenue, under file ZAA-23 of 2008, and the variance for 740 Maryland Avenue, 690 Notre Dame Avenue, under file DAV-152-158 of 2008D.
Okay. Guy Bifonte, if you would like to come forward. Welcome.
We are presenting in support of the application on behalf of the client, Amarjeet Singh Warich, and the Maryland Hotel. The reasoning behind the request for a three-foot side yard variance was because following the request for an approach at this level here, the city advised us that there was a substantial elm tree, and the forester got involved and told us that we needed to actually move the building one way or the other in order to preserve the tree. Had we moved the building this way, we'd have had parking lot right against the next residential property, which we didn't want to do. And when we spoke to the city planner, city planner's representative said, if we have a huge side yard, since it's not really good to have a vacant side yard beside a residential property because the people that linger, that stay, that, you know, make sure the space is used or otherwise protected on behalf of the neighbor. So we looked at the neighborhood and we had 2-foot side yards to the next residential building. And seeing as this was residential in height and in scale, we asked for a variance to reduce it to 3 feet. We discussed with administration, you know, 4 feet so that we get a bit more protection. And we undertook a whole bunch of activities to confer with the planners' recommendations, including installing a complete evergreen screen. We made it evergreen so that winter, summer, the property would be protected. We're putting slats in the fence to keep the light proof. All the lights in the building are downcast lighting, and the fixtures in the parking lot are cutoff fixtures, which means they only cast light down. So actually, and we even went to the extent of taking the trash bin, which is right in the property line, moving it 100 feet over, so it also would be in the residential property. And with the help of the City of Winnipeg, we actually prepared here a non-conforming streetway, which is acceptable to the city, and would also help to preserve both trees and be conforming to all the bylaws. And that was having to do with the side yard. Within there, we also addressed some issues here about parking onto the back lane, which I can get into if the planner would like me to. If you'd like me to talk about it, Mike?
That probably would be a good idea.
Sure, okay. Essentially, we had two issues. One was that because I had a pole here, we had to angle 3 stalls, and that was one of the issues that streets had. What happened was because Hydro is now using the vault in the new building, or in the existing building, that pole is leaving. So we've actually managed to normalize them in this revised plan, which we finished just on the 4th, so we gave you a copy right away. There was some concern that these 4 short stalls, we couldn't control the length of cars are parking in it because we need a turning radius for garbage delivery and snow clearing and all those sorts of things. So because we've actually got more than the required minimum parking, we've reserved those 4 stalls for staff only, and we can control the cars that staff have and post them as staff only with license plates, and if anybody else, we can have them removed so we can protect the right of way that way and manage it. Because the concern streets had was that anybody could park in them and they could park an extended crew cab truck and really affect the turning radius. Client is also currently pursuing getting a little cone of land here. They've been in contact with the resident to see if they could purchase that angle of land to further alleviate the turning circle. As well with working with Michael and his group about the landscaping. We've actually taken the existing parking, moved it off by 3 feet, and created a green bed planter as per city's green bylaws. So we're conforming that way. And we've even had a tree that was actually in the public lane that the forester asked us to replace, and we're going to be replacing it. The recommendations that we put the trees on Maryland, where there's a lot of hard surface concrete, so that we bring a nice green buffer back to the neighborhood. And I believe those are all of the issues. The streetscape on Maryland is found to be acceptable because there are a number of trees existing here right now. It has a dense canopy. And we've met all the rest of the requirements as far as greening and as far as setbacks and as far as buffering is concerned.
Okay, so can I just ask a question? So are you saying those are revised plans? Has the planning department seen those plans?
No, we were just in conversation with Michael about how to revise these. And these were submitted a while ago. They were reviewed fairly recently. We had a discussion with Michael, and these were just prepared on the 4th. And we're prepared to submit them as tender revisions or post-tender addendum right now. And that's all the things that we agreed to with Michael, was to put the green buffer in and to make sure we had the tree staking here and all of the other amendments.
Okay. Do you have any concerns about that at all?
We have a concern with the parking in the rear lane still. There's essentially three issues at play here. If I may just summarize real quickly. One is the side yard for the building. Right now, there's a zoning agreement that requires a 10-foot side yard, and also the zoning bylaw requires a 10-foot side yard. So they're applying to reduce that to 4 feet. Yeah. And in essence, as Mr. Prefontaine was saying, it's because of this tree, yeah, a significant elm tree that the city wants to preserve. So we support the reduction in the side yard, and they're mitigating it by adding some significant landscaping in that area. The second issue has to do with a requirement for landscaping along the public lane, and we're recommending that variance be rejected and replaced with an alternative compliance. So it would be a trade-off. In lieu of them providing landscaping along the lane, they would provide landscaping along the side street, just to the west there, so street edge landscaping. So we think there's more benefit from having the landscaping on a public street than there is from having it on a public lane. So that's number two. And number three is they've applied for variances to have parking directly off the back lane. We talked with Public Works about this. They've indicated that with the exception of the stalls at the 90-degree deflection in the public lane, they're okay with that. For the stalls that are at that deflection in the lane, they're saying no, there should be no parking off the lane because it could obstruct the lane, it could be a problem. So our recommendation is the variance be approved in part that with the condition that the stalls abutting the deflection in the lane not be allowed to park there. Mm-hmm. So those are the we have not seen any modifications planned in terms of the deflection to the lane, so we couldn't really comment on the changes they've made.
Can I bring this closer and have a look at it? Or is that a good time?
Well, I mean, I suppose we could have a look at it.
Okay, we hate to.
We don't want to look at plans. You can't really comment. You can't really comment on it, but you've sort of explained it. So, okay. Is there anything else you wanted to add at this point? And you will have an opportunity to come back and rebuttal as well.
Just that the deflection has been corrected because Hydro removed the pole, so those are no longer deflecting. And Hydro removed the pole. We had that discussion with Hydro about. But we had a discussion with Hydro about three options of splitting the power or using a new vault. And Hydro came back very recently, last week actually, and said, no, we can use the power, so we don't need that pole. So with the pole gone, we didn't have to deflect these lanes anymore. So they're now conforming. They're now conforming parking stalls. So that one has been addressed. But like I said, Hydro just got back to us, so we just managed to put that in now. Beyond that, we had just these short car stalls, which I think is the one that you didn't mention, that we had a turnaround issue, and we had to have four shortened stalls to get the turning radius in. Mm-hmm. And what we've done to address that is that because the street's concern, and what they gave us in writing, was there was no way of controlling the cars that went in those stalls. Their concern was that somebody with a very large truck would park in there. And the quickest solution we had was that we would actually assign those stalls with mm-hmm. tow-aways if they weren't the cars assigned
right.
to it, and those could be to staff.
Yeah. Okay, just one second. Yeah. Okay, perhaps we could take a 5-minute adjournment and give the planner a chance to look at the
absolutely.
Plans.
Absolutely. Yes.
Exactly. We'll just take 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sure.
Maybe just explain it to everybody here.
What the Public Works was concerned about was that the stalls at the deflection in the lane were small car stalls. They were 16 feet deep, so a larger car could then sort of hang out in the stall and then obstruct the lane. What they've done is they've amended the plan, to make those stalls 19 feet 6 inches deep, which would be to the satisfaction of Public Works. So with respect to the variance for the parking directly off the lane, we would recommend
so you would just say you'd recommend approval of the variance?
Yes.
So as it was applied for, for the establishment of accessory parking and loading area, you permit no landscaping and buffering within 20 feet of side or rear lot adjacent to a residential zoning district, and B, parking directly from the lane instead of an aisle or driveway.
And then we would recommend that the condition be added that street edge landscaping be submitted to the satisfaction.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so that's what we're looking at this point as the recommendation from the administration. Thank you. Anything else? Any other questions for him?
Sorry.
Okay, you'll have a chance to come back in rebuttal if that's your choice. We have a number of people listed in support. If you could just let us know if you wish to speak, you may, or you can just be recorded in support. Amarjeet, do you wish to speak or would you record?
Yes.
You'd like to come forward then? Okay.
My name is Amarjeet S. Warwick, and I'm the part owner of this property.
Please have a seat.
For the last 6 years.
He's an owner?
We've been trying to.
Who's the other? Who else is involved?
My brother and I, we're doing the leases together.
Oh, okay.
We've been trying to improve this place for the last 6 years, and for the last 2.5 years, this is going back and forth, you know. I didn't know it was that complicated. So my only concern is, if everything else is okay at this stage, that condition we had imposed last time, that 5 years, because 2.5 years has gone by, we haven't done anything. I'm asking your permission to either remove that or
it can't be done.
Yeah,
it was not
that's not what was applied for today, so we aren't dealing with that matter. We're dealing with the variance and the application that you applied for, so we wouldn't be allowed to make any decision regarding that today. That would have to be an application for that or something separate.
Separate application.
A separate application to change a previous decision that was ultimately made by Executive Policy Committee, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, we can't deal with that today. We just have to deal with what's in front of us.
Okay, that's fine. Okay? I'd like to make a new application, I guess.
You'd have to do that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your
help. Okay, thank you. Dragomir Lazar? Do you wish to speak? Or do you wish to speak to the committee or to just register in support of the... If you want to speak, you need to come up to the table.
No, you have to.
No, we have to record you, so you have to come up here. But okay, well, you're registered in support. Thank you. David Harrison? Okay, thank you. Eric Schott-Snyder?
Just like I said, I've lived in the neighborhood my entire life. And that corner, I've seen it when it was nice. I've seen it when it's been really scary. And I know I've known Amarjeet for a while. And the changes that he's done in that hotel are really good for us. It would be really nice to see it, a nice hotel here. And to be safe to walk that stretch in Notre Dame. You know, it's always been shifted last decade. You know, he's gotten rid of the prostitutes, he's got rid of the drugs, he's got rid of the strippers in the bar. It's safe to actually go into that bar again. And so I just want to comment.
Thank you very much for your comments. Jessica Cummings? Okay. And Bajinder?
In support.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else who wishes to register in support of the application? Okay, in opposition, we have Douglas Bishop. Would you like to come forward, please? Do you want to go first? Sure. Larry Gregan?
That's correct.
Come forward.
I have four copies for... So, I wasn't at the previous public meeting concerning the Maryland Hotel when community representation was pretty thin that day. I want to personally thank the counselors for their work on that day. It was because I was at a New Life Ministries board meeting, shouldering the responsibilities that fell to me after the death of my colleague, Carrie Lahotsky. Our friend Fred Curry has outlined in his written submission why the community briefly relaxed its usual vigilance on the Maryland Hotel, only to find that that was a mistake. And we intend for that to never happen again. I like the tree, really I do. I want to speak to the reasons why the tree is even a question today. It never ceases to amaze me how people attempt to hide things right in plain sight. By locating the vendor and lounges outside of and as far as possible from the Maryland Hotel, the applicant demonstrates awareness of the problem it will continue to present to the clientele of the hotel, and willingness to foist that off on the community as much as possible. Now let me be completely clear that our opposition to this application is not an opposition to sale or consumption of alcohol, but the Maryland Hotel isn't just any place in the city that sells alcohol. It's located in an at-risk neighborhood which is working hard at revitalization at great public and private expense. It attracts and serves a problematic clientele, which in turn puts already at risk youth further at risk. The lounge and vendor are an integral part of the applicant's business plan. But this community does not owe the applicant financial success on his terms. The city of Winnipeg is chartered to regulate any legal activity for the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens. We're not opposing any right of the applicant. The applicant is applying for a privilege to varying degrees of scale from having no alcohol zones at the stadium to having whole dry communities. We acknowledge that this is a privilege which can be restricted for the good of communities in whole or in part. I live in the neighborhood for which I advocate because I've found that what people advocate for changes if they have to live with the results of their advocacy. This is the kind of application in which the applicant will not live with the consequences of his actions. I will, my children will, our whole struggling community will. So, the tree notwithstanding, I really wish that far more important considerations of the people who love the tree were taken into account and would be taken into account in this. The proposal to move the building that is to house the vendor and lounge 7 feet closer to residential property is offensive and should be rejected.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Well,
Councilor Smith?
If this is turned down, what do you think will happen to that property?
I don't know. See, that's not really a community concern. I don't need to ask the applicant what he thinks will happen if I try to do something that is unhealthy or unbeneficial to my community.
I have a question. I mean, I think you're getting at the issue of the beverage room itself, which isn't being discussed today.
I understand, but the location of it.
But the location.
Closer to residential.
So having that movement of 7 feet, do you feel, what specific problems do you think that would cause specifically? Because, you know, it's not going to take away the beverage room. It's still going to be there.
No, it's not. But it's going to put it closer to people's windows and buildings.
And it's going to save a tree.
You know, save the tree, you know. But find another way, please. Our community has already a problem with rental housing. We need as much rental housing as we've got, and we need it to be as desirable as it possibly can be. We used to have 800 students at John M. King School, where my children attend. Now we have 360. And it's a vicious cycle of cutting teachers and programs. And then it makes it a less desirable neighborhood. And then the property gets used for non-residential uses, which in our community, as vulnerable as it is, are increasingly problematic uses. So that's why the location is a problem.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you
very
much. Douglas Bishop?
Hi there, everyone. My name is Douglas Bishop. Lifelong resident of the community for 34 years. And now currently the security supervisor for Standard Aerospace, but most importantly, a former bouncer at the Maryland Hotel for 3.5 years. You're planning to close off an alley from 10 feet to 3 feet. Security-wise, logistically-wise, really? More space, the better. More visibility, the better. Putting a parking lot in the back lane of the Maryland Hotel, guys? Come on.
You're supposed to address over.
Come on. I mean, if you lived in that neighborhood, if you walked in that neighborhood at 11 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to know that putting anything in a back lane is a huge security risk. Lives will be at stake. That whole area is a fireball. Just last month, there was 2 people killed right across the street from the Maryland. A year and a half ago, guys stomped to death in front of my front yard, which I'm only 2 blocks away. Never mind the hundreds of fights that I've seen at that place. A variance for 3 feet, leave it wide, leave it open, leave it visible from a security standpoint. Place cameras, leave it open to the front of Maryland. Don't close it off. If you obscure vision from the main street where cars are driving by, where potential witnesses are driving by, you're allowing the field in the back for crimes to take place. I don't feel it's a good thing at all that the Maryland's there. I mean, that's an advocate that I've been for the last 7 years since I left there. I also founded a group on Facebook called the Maryland Alumni. we've been trying to find a place to actually have a gathering, to have all of us to come together, and none of us want to go back to the Maryland. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any questions? No. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing none, Mr. Prefontaine, do you wish to rebut to anything that's been said by the people in opposition? Yes, please. Come forward.
And just for the counselor's information, Frank Curry was unable to attend, and he did submit something in writing. It's in your package. It's in your package?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just want to wait a moment. Want to make sure we've read everything before.
Well, no, you know what? I'd rather address all the questions.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for your patience. Did you want to speak to the staff first or after, Harvey?
Well, it doesn't matter. If this is turned down, what direction are you going to go then? The tree, can you replace the tree?
It's a heritage tree. Right now, the tree has about a 3-foot diameter girth measured at chest height. It is part of heritage foliage. And even Streets, who wield a very, very heavy hammer, said we don't mess with Forester on a heritage elm tree. So we said, fine. Then if we have this tree, we have to preserve the canopy, how do we move this building, you know, either one way or the other?
Well, go ahead. It seems to me that that you can, in effect, pay for the tree, and they can replace the tree.
We'd actually ask the Forester that question, too. What happens is, at a certain, there are designations for trees. Some trees and species are old growth heritage forest trees, which just plain do not get cut down under any conditions. It's part of the CWPA bylaws. It is of that nature, of that size and scale. We have another one on the public right of way, which is a small local green ash, which is about maybe 6 inches. And they said that one can be removed because it's not part of the heritage forest. It's not part of the old growth. They said, so that can be removed and relocated because, believe me, rather than entering into extending our project another 3 months to go through this process, we looked at every potential option with the City of Winnipeg, with traffic, with the planners, and with everybody as to how we could move it. And the issue we've got is that we have two trees. There are two huge elm trees. And we cannot cut either of them down. So we have to move the barn vendor a good 150 to 200 feet into the lot, which then causes traffic circulation problems, which then causes a parking lot beside a residential area. And that is the one thing that the planner said that they really, really did not favor, was having a parking lot right next to it, because that's where you have all the problems. They said if we have the building as a buffer between the parking lot and the residential, it's a much safer, and even if you look at the safe streets protocols from the Public Service Department and Police Services, that's the recommendation as well, as far as unmanaged or unmitigated spaces. The space is lit. And just to answer your question as well, before we undertook this contract, we met with clients, and we had a look at what they were doing in the building. And the first gentleman in support was quite right. There's no more prostitution. You cannot rent the rooms except as registered guests. the noontime entertainment is gone, and they've actively undertaken cleaning up all four of the top floors as part of the mission to clean up the neighborhood. We think it's a laudable effort. We think it's really something to be commended. We hope everybody would do such a thing. Having said that, we then undertook the project because we then realized that, and this speaks directly to Mr. Bishop's comment, essentially the back lane used to have people come in off Maryland, pick up beer, and then scoot down the back of a residential lane. The way it's laid out now is that people come directly off Maryland, come to the drive to the bar and vendor, and exit out to Maryland, and never become part of the back lane or the back lane neighborhood. So in all true purposes of design, with City of Winnipeg, with traffic, with everybody, it is by far a superior solution. It is also a solution that exists at a number of hotels, including the Dakota, the Marion, and I think about a half a dozen others, who have bar vendors, which are not part of the main hotel. It's much safer for everybody, including the handling of liquor, not to have them anywhere near the hotel. So that is what's a new trend in the development of hotels now that's being followed for the safety of everybody. The question was asked, what would happen if we didn't proceed with the bar and vendor? Then the hotel would return to what it was.
Return what?
To what it was. The activities that had taken that in a hotel would have a chance to return. And the client's efforts to actually get a chain to renovate all the rooms would end. Very simply. So that's why we're doing this. And because one of the conditions is that you not have a vendor in a hotel. But that's not even what we're discussing. I apologize, I'm digressing. What we're discussing is the 3-foot side yard, which is, I think, what's being applied for right now. So maintaining that, this is a recommendation for safer neighborhood, a safer piece of property, better lit, and it applies to all the standards of design, and gets support from the administration and the planners administration, as well as all, it just is good.
Any other questions?
No.
Councillor
Rocco? Yeah, just a quick question. And it was mentioned before, and I thank them all for their effort for doing their best to make this hotel a place where people actually can go and feel a little bit more safe. But on the safety note, which is in that back lane, I'm a bike rider, so if you're moving down that back lane at night, it's terrifying. The loading area behind the hotel, behind the proposed bar and vendor, would that be fenced off?
Yes.
Would it be an open gathering spot? Is that by the public way in the back, is that fenced all the way down? Or what kind of fencing is down that back lane? So yeah, you drive into the parking lot.
Well, you can't actually get into the parking lot except once you go around the corner. And that's right. So we can segregate the activities of the hotel from the neighborhood.
So I drive into my parking lot. I drive in off Maryland or come in to the parking lot. And then on the back lane side, is there a fencing that goes along that whole back, or people hop over?
No, because there's parking exiting directly onto the back lane.
There is parking directly onto the back lane.
This is an existing situation that's grandfathered in.
Oh, there is. Okay, I was unaware of that. Whereabouts would that be on? Is that on the south side of the hotel, the new bar, or is that somewhere else? I can't see it on the map.
It's on the west side.
On the west side, in the middle of the parking lot somewhere, or is it?
It's all, okay, from the residential property all the way up to the new public lane acquired by the city, that's all existing parking.
Right.
That's right directly off the back lane.
Okay. So there would be still parking that would be going, driving out of the back lane. There would be still activity going up and down that back lane. People would still have access to the back lane routes.
But not from the bar and vendor, and that's the issue we have.
Not from the bar, so when they come into that loop, they'll be kind of captured in there.
Well, they come off Maryland, and there's a one-way driveway back onto Maryland. They have no other driving option.
So this won't increase the back lane traffic?
It will decrease it significantly.
Okay.
Because previously the challenge we had was people would drive into the Maryland entry, pick up bar, the beer and vendor, and then go down the public back lane.
That's right.
And that was a huge safety issue.
Huge safety issue. Is there any other safety mitigation measures that the hotel would be looking at? I see some lighting, but it's down lighting. In that back corner, I do concur that back corner has, even though we will reduce some of the traffic and that safety, it is still a place I can see people conjugating after they grab their beer that maybe you don't want as a neighborhood conjugating that back corner.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other safety measures?
Are there security cameras? that going to be posted there?
I'm not sure. Walking patrols? I'm not sure what kind of security measures.
Cameras.
There will be some security
cameras and a closed circuit TV system back there.
Good, that's my question. Thank you.
Well, maybe we'll get into it. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to hear from the planner just before we make our decision, too. Could you explain the implications of the different decisions? Like, if this committee, what would happen if this committee said no to this particular variance and request? Would it make it better or worse in terms of the concerns? Like, what would be left? What would the applicant have be able to do if we were to make that decision? Because I think we need to know that to make the decision.
Sure. In terms of the side yard, as the applicant was stating, either they go one direction or the other direction in terms of moving the building, but streets that say you can't have your approach where you wanted to have it initially, so the building has to be moved. So if they don't go towards the east, 4 feet, they would have to go essentially about 7 or 8 feet to the west. That would leave an 18 or 20 foot space between the home and between the building. And what they're saying is, if we have that dead space in there, we're going to put parking there. And it's better for us to have a building than to have parking, because that's less disruptive to the residential neighborhood. So they would probably have a parking lot closer to the residence, and they might lose a few parking spaces on the other side. In terms of they weren't allowed to have parking off the lane. Most of their spaces off the lane are already grandfathered in, so they have the right to those. They're only adding about, I'd say, probably 8 or 9 additional spaces off the lane, so they would have to reduce the number of stalls that they have, but they're way over the requirement under the bylaw, so that wouldn't have a significant impact on them. And then in terms of the landscaping, we're talking about a few shrubs. It's not really significant. They could meet the requirement. But we were asking for, we're not giving them a break on the landscaping, really. We're just saying put it in a location that's more in view of the public, and they're agreeing to that.
But the fact is that the new location, in effect, is closer to the residents. So, like, it's a problem, eh?
Well, you're looking at either a 4 foot side yard, which would have a sidewalk and a man door, it would be completely fenced off. Or you're looking at probably a 20 foot side yard where they've indicated they would put parking. So
you're putting parking instead of the building. Parking. I guess that's the decision. They're still going to be proceeding with everything. Yeah. It's just, how is it going to look? And the planning of the department is supporting this approach, saying that it's probably better for the residents. That's what I'm hearing here. Like, they're going to be proceeding with this project. So do you want a parking lot right up against them? Or do you want this plan that the planning department is suggesting?
There's one other little aspect to this. I would send attachment to of your packet there. And it shows a landscape area. And in exchange for the reduction in the side yard, the administration asked for a larger buffer adjacent to the drive-through, because they're going to have a drive-through for the beer vendor, and that's where the cars are going to be coming in, and the headlights and the noise, which would be most disruptive. So we've actually asked for a larger side yard there with significant landscaping. So you're getting a smaller side yard on the building, but a larger side yard on the drive-through, which is the part that wouldn't impact the residents the most. So that was part of what we factored in as well, is that there's a bit of a trade-off here in terms of what they're providing and what they're asking for.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions, Councillor Smith?